Welcome to the Gathering at Meadowview with Doug Messer, a church focused on biblical truth through scriptural teaching. I hope you enjoy the message today.
Today's going to be a little different. Seems like I say that a lot. But today's going to be a little different in how we convey this truth, more in a story form of two people. And I have a focus. And my focus is when you leave here today, you have a knowledge, a confidence in the Lord. And you could say, this is what I believe. This is how I know that what he has given me is correct and right. I don't have to defend myself to anybody. I don't have to make any excuses. I don't have to say nothing. He comes out of our life. He shows himself to us. And I want you to see that today. And I want you to see that he gives us something in the future to look forward to. And that you and I have something in our belief of who God is that's different from anyone else. Every person who lives anywhere on this world has a belief system. We don't think about that a lot, but everybody has a belief system. And some people might say, I don't believe in anything. It's a belief system. There's boundaries, there's focus, there's direction, there's ways that you think. It's a belief system. And we have a belief system. It's called Christianity, but it's our belief system. It's illustrated in the story. There was a man named Steve, and he went into a coffee shop one Saturday morning. And he got coffee. And this coffee shop is a place where a lot of people meet each other, and they sit and talk. And anyhow, he got coffee, and he went and sat down. And a lady came in. Her name was Karen. And she got some coffee, and she got a little pastry. And she sat down at a table, and she's kind of facing towards Steve. And she bowed her head. She had her head down like this, just for a moment or two, then lifted up her head. Steve kind of chuckled from the table across from her and said, were you like talking to God? I'm sorry to bother you. My name's Steve. She said, my name is Karen. And yeah, I was. So you believe in all that stuff? Well, it depends on what all that stuff is. But yeah, I believe in God. Really? You must have been raised in that kind of thinking. He said, no, I wasn't raised in that kind of thinking. In fact, my parents, they divorced when I was young. It was back and forth on weekends. Weekends were always consumed, and there was no time for church. When I went to college and I was a freshman, I met some girls on my hall, and they had like a meeting they would have once a week. They'd get together in one of the lobbies, and they had Bibles, and they would sit and talk. And I knew one of them a little bit better, and I asked her some questions about this meeting that they had. And she said, well, we just come and we talk about Jesus, and we talk about the Bible, and you're welcome to come, Karen. She said, well, I mean, are they going to ask me anything? I don't know anything about any of that stuff. And she said, no, come. You're welcome to come. So I started going to these meetings, and I started noticing that these girls think different. They live different than other people that I knew. And my one friend, who I got a little closer to, I asked her, what do you have? What is it that makes you all different? And she talked to me about Jesus. And she asked me if I would like to come to know Jesus. And she's telling all this to Steve. And Steve is kind of smirking a little as she's telling the story. But she said, when I gave my life to God, my life changed. I had some joy in my life that I didn't experience before. I had peace. A peace, it kind of just came over me like this peace. And then inside, I had this desire to know more about God and get closer to him. I never knew anything about this before in my life, and now I do. He said, well, prove it to me. Prove God. She said, I don't need to prove nothing to you, and I can't prove God to you. Take this book of yours, Karen. Make it float. She said, he's not going to make it float for you, and I can't prove anything to you. I can't, like, tell you some logical way that there's a God, and you're going to say, oh, okay. I know it. It's part of who I am now. It's my life now. And for the first time in Karen's life, because with her parents and with other people, she always had to be defensive. Like, it was like an attack on Christianity, and you got to tell me why or believe it. She decided to turn it around. And she said to Steve, I want to ask you some questions. What do you believe? I don't believe nothing. I mean, you live in this world, and the whole focus is to be content and be happy. She said, are you happy? I'm pre-med right now. I'm trying to get into medical school and different things. And I know I'm going to get to this place where I'm going to feel, you know, good. I'm going to be happy. So you're not happy right now. Well, I'm getting to a place. Steve, let me just tell you, 18 years of your life, somebody told you how to be happy as you were at home, and they were preparing you to be happy, and you're not happy now, and you haven't found what you're looking for yet, but you think one day you're going to be happy, and you're going to find something one day to make you happy. And she said, if there is a higher power, Steve, you better be praying to him, because probably the last 15 years of your life, you won't remember anything. So you got a short span of time that you're going to be happy and find contentment, and you haven't found it yet. It's not there yet. And you know what, Steve? Knowing your belief system, there's also some other things I know. You discriminate. What do you mean I discriminate in this belief system thing? Well, I mean, if I was going to say, I want to be like Steve and believe what Steve believes, which he says is nothing, then I have to have money. I mean, I'm going to have to pay for education. I'm going to have to pay for things that are going to bring me pleasure in my life, and they don't seem to. And I'm going to have to focus on certain things. I'm going to have a mental capability to be able to find this happiness. Because, you know, without those kind of things, these people are just going to fade away. I mean, somebody who has a mental disability is going to be held back. How about that single mom who has two kids and living in a camper somewhere, and she works in a factory, and she can never go on vacation, and she's doing everything to keep her two kids going? She's never going to be happy, Steve. Your belief system fails you. You got to be certain things to be able to be in your belief system. And you haven't found it yet, Steve, and you're asking me to make this book float. I found it. I'm content. I'm happy. I'm okay. I'm growing in the Lord. I know who He is. I have an assurance. He tells me that He exists. I see Him, and I was just talking to Him. Well, I don't know about all that. You know, you never, ever have to apologize. You never have to be in the defense. It's real. It's there. It exists. It comes out of our lives. God shows Himself. He moves in powerful ways. Did you know in the Old Testament, there was a king? And this king was between two belief systems. He was between the belief system that his father had lived in and taught him and shared with him, and he had spoke to God before God spoke to him. And this belief system that in this world we can be happy and we can find happiness and the pursuit of happiness. Oh, I just want to say this. Our forefathers, who many of them were very godly men who founded our country, knew that you're not going to find happiness. They didn't say, come here and find happiness. They said, pursue happiness. You can come after it. You can look for it. But you're not going to find it unless you find God. It's just going to be the pursuit. But at least you have the freedom to pursue it. I guess basically that was the tenet that was thought. Pursue happiness. We go after it. We look for it. But this king in the Old Testament, he was caught in between. What he did is he heavily taxed the people so that there was a lot of revenue coming into the country. They weren't at war. He did certain investments that brought in some capital. And he had more gold than any person in history of humanity. He didn't have ounces of gold. He had tons of gold. He even had a lady from Africa come and visit him in his kingdom, and he sent her home with a wagon load of gold and jewels and silver and precious garments. This guy pursued happiness. If you want, you can take your Bibles and turn with me to Ecclesiastes. And the belief system that he was caught in. I don't know if when he came in to be a king, the Lord said to him, "What do you want?" And he said, "I want wisdom. I want to know how to rule your people." And then God said, "Because you didn't ask for riches and fame and power, I'm going to give you all of those things too and give you wisdom." But one thing evaded him in his wisdom. He didn't settle on the correct belief system. And he spent a majority of his life searching for happiness, the pursuit of happiness. And know this, that this king had more resources than anyone probably in all of humanity. I mean, financially, without any turbulence going on in the country, people around, he had more resources than anyone. And we could learn from his life without wasting time and effort. We could say he had it all. And he didn't find happiness in these things. In his little focus of a belief system of maybe he would endeavor and find something, he didn't find it. So some of the things that this king did was first he built a beautiful, beautiful palace. This is better than the White House. This is better than lifestyles of the rich and famous. This is better than any oceanfront place. This thing was unbelievable. And he builds this big palace. And he walks around and he looks around. And there's some cobwebs up there that need to be taken down. You know, that one artisan that I had and I wanted all that elaborate gold stuff done, he forgot to put the one little angel in the middle. I'm going to have to get that done. He walked around and looked at, the sun coming in here, it makes it too hot in this room. We're going to have to do, it didn't fulfill. He didn't get, then he decided, outside of the palace, I need country estates. So he had cabins, different places in the retreats, different places in the mountains. And he would go up there and there were rivers or lakes or whatever. And you know what? This doesn't bring me any happiness. This is all confusion. People broke into the estate last week. They took stuff. You know, whatever it is, you know, it didn't bring contentment. I love horses. He had tons of horses and chariots and mules. And he had people that cleaned out his barn and took care of it. He didn't have to do anything. He had cedar shavings in there. I mean, you could walk in, it smelled good. Didn't even smell bad. The most beautiful horses that you could find anywhere. And he didn't even have to go and saddle them up. It's always a pain. You have to go out, "Come here, boy." And then the horse runs away from you. "Come on," you shake a feed bucket. Then he finally comes. And then you catch him and you take him and you tie him up. And then you comb him and you spray a little bit of fly spray on him. And then you put the blanket and the saddle on him. Then you go ride for a while. Then you have to bring him back and you have to wash him off and clean them all up and put them back in the pasture. And notoriously, as soon as you let them out, they roll and get mud all over them because they're wet. They always do that. Well, he didn't have to mess with any of that stuff. He'd just say, 10 o'clock, I'm going riding. And it would be there, ready for him. And put my horse up, will you? I mean, that's how life was. I know what it is. This would make you happy. A good woman. He had 1,000. Did you know that? Blondes, redheads, dark hair, you know, some olive skin, some tall, some skinny, some wide, some little short one. He had 1,000 of them. 1,000 wives. And some of them were daughters of the Pharaoh. I mean, they never touched anything in their life. They walked around like this all the time. You know, 1,000 wives he had. He's got to be happy now. Did you know that they were arguing and grumbling and complaining and he forgot their birthday and the anniversary? And you know, I mean, he said, "You know what? This is all confusion. This is horrible. I can't stand this. I have not found happiness yet. So I had a palace. I have country estates. I have women all around me. I have servants that I can go like this. I want a pedicure. And they would bring and do a pedicure. I want my back rubbed. I want this. I want soup made in the middle of the night. Anything that he wanted was taken care of. Wasn't happy. Wasn't happy at all. It didn't bring any peace. It's never enough. It's not big enough. It's not enough. It doesn't take care of the situation. There's always confusion that comes with it. It's never peaceable. He looked at, think how much time he spent doing this. And then it says he had gardens. Listen to this. Have you ever heard the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir? I mean, when they sing, man, I mean, if you were outside the church, the sidewalk moves. I mean, he had a choir in his garden just in case he walked by. So I can see the one guy, he's kind of looking down. Hey, everybody, Solomon's coming. Everybody, stand up. Let's get ready. And then they start singing while he's walking around in his garden just for him. It's confusion. Nothing happy about it. It doesn't bring any peace. It doesn't bring any comfort to me. I have nothing at all. I'm still sad. I'm still unfulfilled. He had every resource imaginable. I don't think he probably wore the same robe twice. Bring me a new robe. Make me a new one for tomorrow. I think life was like that. Everything that he wanted, every focus he ever had, and he said it does not bring peace. Then look with me at Ecclesiastes, the last chapter, chapter 12, and we look at verse 13. He took 12 chapters and all of the verses of all 12 chapters to get to one verse, and this is what he said. Here it is. Here's the belief system that works. Verse 12, 13. That's the whole story. Here now is my final conclusion. You'd think this would be like pages and pages long, but listen, fear God, obey his commands, for this is everyone's duty. Da-da-da-da. There it is. That's the answer. That's the belief system. Fear God. In other words, God. He is the belief system to believe in. He's the one to focus after. And do you know what I have found in my life as far as our belief system, God, Jesus Christ, Christianity? It doesn't categorize, it doesn't isolate groups. I can remember years ago, there was a girl in our church, her name was Teresa, and she had Down syndrome. And we had talked about baptism, and her mother came to me and said, Teresa wants to be baptized, but she is terrified of the water. She will not put her head under the water. But I want her to get baptized. And she said, she will not do it. I mean, I have to just kind of take a cup and pour water on her hair to wash it. She will not put her head under the water. So what am I supposed to do? And so I said, well, she wants to be baptized? Yeah. Okay, I'll get a little Methodist-y about it, okay? So I said, I'll just pour some water on her head like you do when you wash your hair. She said, that'd be good. This is where Christianity doesn't separate or set apart and God works. So we had a baptismal tank and little steps coming down and I'm standing in the water about like this. And Teresa came down and I reached like this to take some water. And she said, I said, what? Okay, come here, Teresa. Whoosh, whoosh. And when she came up out of the water, she goes, she was so happy. God works. He doesn't care. He doesn't care what somebody's mental reasoning is. You can still come to him. You can still know him. He can still work in your life. And the belief system that we have, God reaches for everyone. Broken-legged lambs, he reaches for us. Lost lambs, he reaches for us. He seeks us. He finds us. I was in Honduras and we took a trip over to Nicaragua and went back in the jungle. And I mean, it was back in, I was telling Maverick about this the other day, where we came to was a sawmill and we parked there. And then the cows, they had like Brahma cows and the cows going way up into the mountains. It was almost like stair steps up the hill. I mean, you would be stepping where they stepped going up and banana trees on the side. And we went up We walked all day. Then we started coming to where these huts were. I call them huts, and I don't mean it in a wrong way, but it was really their homes. And they were about as big as this right here. And they would have like a blue tarp over the roof. And it had bark and wood and pallet stuff that they found and stuff to make the houses. And where the door was, it was just a cloth. And if you looked inside, you'd just see hammocks in there that they slept in. And it was a dirt floor, and there were chickens running in, and there were pigs running by. And those people were the happiest people I've ever seen in my life. And I don't know where these little girls got it. They must have had their mama, must have hid them away somewhere where they stayed clean. But all of a sudden, these little girls came running out of their huts with beautiful little pink and white dresses on. I mean, not dirty at all, barefooted. And all the men were off logging, and it was just the moms and the kids. And the missionary told them we're going to go have church. And it was like on a Friday or a Saturday. It wasn't Sunday. And they started following us all the way up this mountain. And they're happy, and they're dancing around, and they're excited and everything. And then we come into church. It was about as big as this, and it was packed. Like, we were like this. And all these people were coming to church. And one guy got up with a guitar. I remember him having this guitar, and it was on his stomach like this. And one of the guitar strings was like this because it was broken. Nobody cared. And they were singing so loud you couldn't even hear the guitar. And they were just having the best time in the world, loving Jesus. Economics has nothing to do with our belief system. He reaches towards people wherever. Are they lower than us? No. There are brothers and sisters in Christ, and he reached towards them. Are they just as important as we? Yes. Do they have the education that some of us? No. Does he care? No. He loves them. They're part of our family. Our belief system is open to them. And I've met millionaires who God has blessed in awesome ways, and they love Jesus, and they give and give and give to God's work. It doesn't matter. Wow, our belief system is pretty cool. I mean, it's open to that. One of Jesus' relatives was a prostitute, Rahab, and he put her right in the family tree. Isn't that amazing? And there was a thief that he called. His name was Matthew. A thief. You have tax collectors back then. The state would say how much you owe, and Mike owes so much, and then he would add a percentage onto that. If he liked you, he would do less. If he didn't, you'd pay more. And if you didn't pay it, they'd take your property. That's what Matthew did. And fishermen, he'd call them, no education at all. Come and follow me. Come and follow me. And Mary Magdalene, who had demons screaming from her body, and Jesus had to cast them out before she could even talk to him. Come and follow me. Follow after me. That's the belief system that we're in, that God works like that. Isn't that amazing? Do you know what Christianity, our belief system, has in common with every religious belief system in the world? Animistic, Hindu, Muslim, all of them. They have one common thing that we all have. They all believe in an afterlife. Isn't that something? You could be Hindu and there'd be lots of afterlives or different ones, but they all believe in an afterlife. Steve's belief system believes that when you die like a dog, you're done for. That's pretty sad, too. That you lived your entire life, experienced lots of things, were creative in different things that you did, knowledgeable in different things, and when you die, all that's gone. Christianity's a little different. Christianity says there's life after this life that goes on forever, and we spend our time with the Lord. And you know what I believe? I just kind of want to add this little thing. I think if we are recreated into the image of God, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God, that we are then recreated into his image when we accept Christ into our life, that everything he put into you, it's forever. The person who you are, the gentleness that he gave to you, the love that he gave to you, the things he poured into you, the things and abilities that you, all you do when you go to heaven, the aesthetics of you goes on forever. It isn't that you die and you all become exactly this. You will be known as you were known. Isn't that amazing? And you going to heaven adds to heaven. The person that I put all that love in, they're right here right now, and it's just glowing out of them. And we're all different. We're all with God's personality in us when we have come into his image and come to know him forever. He tells us several times through the New Testament, think about things above. So if we, in Christianity, our belief system, if we are heaven-minded, we gain earth. If people are only earth-minded, they lose everything. There's nothing more. And God is so vast and so big. No wonder we could say, I have peace that's been given to me. I have joy. Karen could say, I experienced something I never experienced before. I don't have to prove anything to you. I don't have to make this book float. My life is going to float. My life is different. My focus is different. And the peace, don't even try telling anybody about the peace. It says it's a peace that passes all understanding. So you can't even explain it. Just say, I got peace. I got peace like a river. You know, it flows inside of me. I've changed. I'm different. I have a joy. In fact, I can go through problems in my life, and James tells me I can joy in it. I can have joy. I can have a contentment. Steve, you don't have that. You are offering me nothing, Steve. There's no attraction to what you have. You're stealing from me everything that I've been given, and I don't have to excuse it. I don't have to defend it. I just have to say he's in us. His light comes out of us. It's an attraction to the people of this world. And there's an afterlife. I want to read you something. There is an evangelist. He lived in Chicago. He was like in his day and era, he was Billy Graham. His name is D.L. Moody. And he's an amazing man, amazing evangelist. He was a shoe salesman in a store. And God said, I want you to start telling people about me. And so he started preaching about Christ. Well, death comes to us all. And his life, he became weaker and weaker. Finally, he's on his deathbed. And I want to read you something that his son wrote. It said, this is the life of Reverend Dwight L. Moody, celebrated evangelical preacher of the United States, written by his son. In my father's last moments, it's described as follows. Suddenly he murmured, God is calling. Don't call me back. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. If this is death, it is sweet. Then his face lit up and he said in a voice of joyful rapture, Dwight, Irene, I see the children's faces, referring to two little grandchildren gone on before. Turning to his wife, he said, Mama, you've been a good wife to me. And he passed away. You and I have a promise of eternal life, and we will be known as we are known. And I believe that we will know people that we have known here on earth who have gone on before us, that we have the promise forever. And you know something innate within all of us? I think sometimes we all have to know that, you know, we're appreciated. What we did was worth something. I think God put that in us because he wants us to come to him and find that he accepts us. And he says, this is what he says just to reinforce that. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Good job. You did good. You know, you had your challenges. There were times you fell, but you stood back up again. You ran a really good race. Good job. And it says in the Bible that he'll say that. He'll say that to his saints. And there's a judgment seat of Christ where we stand before him and we're rewarded for the things that you have done here on earth. Amazing. And you know the famous verse, and it's on telephone poles, and people quote it, and they learned it in vacation Bible schools and sung it, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He sent his son so that we have everlasting life. Today is a focus. The focus is that you are confident. I don't have to apologize to anyone. I don't have to make books float. I don't. And the reason I say that too, one time when I was having church many years ago, and a guy was sitting in the back of church and he's laughing at me. I just walked back to him, and I said, "What?" He said, "Make this hymn book float, and I'll believe you're God. Make it float." You know what? If it floated, he would put his hands like this. How are you making that float? You know, it wouldn't matter what you did. Jesus told people to walk out of graves, dead people, and they took the clothes off of them. They didn't believe. Do you know what the Pharisees said when that happened? We got to kill this guy because everybody's going to believe in him now. He just made a dead man walk. It's God calling. It's the light shining out of your life. It is the truth. It's believing in him. And we don't apologize for it. We don't have to stand in defense and scream and yell at people about it. Just live Jesus. Do what Jesus tells us to do, and he lifts us up. Every Sunday morning, I get nervous. I don't know if you know this, but I get nervous before I talk to you, and I can't stand still. So I walk around back outside until I get in here. And almost every Sunday, I see Diane go by, and she goes to this wonderful little church down here. And her husband and I, we built the bathhouses and the blockwork at Camp Hope. And they went on vacation. He was in a motel, had a massive heart attack, and died. And every Sunday I see her come by, and I pray for her, and I think about her, that she's all alone living over here, Cave Springs, by herself now. But God has enabled her. God's given her strength. She still goes to church. She's still there. She smiles and waves at me almost every Sunday when she goes by. She did today. And God is there. God is with her. You believe in something. You believe in him. And he doesn't abandon us. And I don't have to work really hard. And you know what? If I'm sick and I need to lay in bed one day, it isn't a waste of a time. For Steve, it's a waste of a day because he only has a certain amount of days to get happy. Well, I don't have to worry about it. I have Jesus, so do you. A confidence in him, a knowledge in him, an assurance. And Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in me? You also believe in the Father. I go to prepare a place for you. And if it were not so, I would have told you. And I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you will be too. Isn't that awesome? We've got something. Live it. Let it just flow out of your life so much that it affects other people. They see it in you. What do you got that I don't have? I don't have to go up to people and laugh at them and tell them anything. I just live Jesus. Talk to Jesus. Know him and let him come out of your life. My prayer was today that there would be a confidence that you would have leaving here today. And you'd say, I'm a believer. And I'm thankful for what God has given me and his call in my life. And how it doesn't matter what my background was, what I came out of, who I was, what things I committed in my life. It's forgiven. It's forgot. I have a new start with him, and we go on. We're going to close together with a song today. If there's anything at all that you'd like prayer about, I'd love to pray with you today. I'll pray for you. You can come and pray with me today.
Thank you for listening. Join us here in person at the Gathering in Meadowview in Rogersville, Tennessee, or join us next week right here on the Dig Bible Podcast.